The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
I'm speaking to Danny Blanchflower from Dartmouth College, also a former member of the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee. Danny, welcome.
Great to be with you again. Lovely to talk.
Well,
very
you know,
interesting couple of days.
I got to tell you, Danny, when I saw Ben Bernanke, well, certainly starting a month ago, but on Wednesday when he made it very clear that the door is open and then he was starting to talk about specific days of and months to start tapering off and ending QE, I said, I bet Danny doesn't agree with Ben Bernanke because you have been such a proponent of continuing the bond purchases while economic growth is tepid. You think it's the right path. The Fed chairman apparently is not exactly on your path anymore.
I don't agree with that. I think my reading, and I don't think the market read it right, and didn't read the statement right, didn't read the projections right, or didn't read his lips correctly. He talked about, essentially, that the Fed was in path-dependent mode, which was almost inevitable, and hopefully at some point...
Just stop for one second and explain to our listeners why that's important. What is path-dependent mode? Why is this so critical?
Essentially, what the Fed has done... is it's followed on from Charlie Evans' speech, which says we have to have a set of gateways where we tell you these are the things we're looking at, and we're going to talk, I assume, about what they are. But what the Fed does is going to be driven by what happens in the markets, especially on unemployment, broader measures of unemployment, inflation and inflation expectations. And the reason, and I think people haven't read it correctly, and Bernanke made it very clear, that he can't answer the question, on what date am I going to do this? It's like saying, how long is a piece of string? So he made it clear that assuming things go in the way that the Fed says, then they will do X. But if things are worse, and unemployment, for example, rises, then they'll do more. And he talked about if it was, and that's a considerable possibility. So path-dependent means the Fed is signaling that what it's looking at, and assuming things go fine, then there will be some tapering. But if they don't, there'll be an increase in QE. So I find it very hard to believe the headlines and the comment, and even what you just said.
But wait, Danny, he did sort of give...
He didn't say that.
He did sort of give dates, though. And isn't that what James Bullard is, you know, dissenting on a little bit this morning, too? I mean, he may not have said when exactly the tapering will start, but he did say sometime this year and May of next year it should be done.
Well, he said it depends upon how things are going. So it really depends what I'm looking at.
So then why give dates at all?
Well, I don't think he actually gave dates. He talked about possibilities of where it would go. It was sort of conditional statement if things turn out as the Fed said. So let's think about supposing we see for the next 6 months, just to throw a scenario in there, that unemployment ticks up by 0.1 percentage points a month for the next 6 months. So you think the Fed is going to follow and say, well, okay, that's just fine. We're going to follow these dates. Well, of course not. And if you look at the projections, which I have directly in front of me, actually the projections are somewhat worse than they were in March. They're worse on core inflation. They're a little bit worse on GDP, marginally better on the unemployment rate. But it's very hard to take any indicator from those that the Fed sees anything improving. I mean, the big change, actually, is its downside view on inflation, particularly core inflation, for the next 2 years, and not unrelated to Bullard's response. Well, so that's, in a sense, what the market has missed if you just look at the numbers.
Well, but core the market inflation is... Got you. And I think Jim Bullard very intelligently and succinctly lays out a couple of very key points on that, right? That I think in essence he's saying, why start even talking specifically about tapering off and giving some possible, even possible dates, making it time contingent, right? Instead of condition or economy contingent, when you have lower inflation and the GDP forecast just marked down. But
obviously,
to me, Danny, Jim Bullard's view is that the FOMC is sending the wrong signal, and he doesn't agree with this. So, you know, it's you and Jim Bullard kind of against the FOMC, and the markets are saying, hey, maybe they could agree with you. But if Ben Bernanke comes out and says this, they're going to sell bonds. Look at the 10-year at 2.5% now.
Well, I don't know. I sat and listened to the press conference. I didn't read it that way. I think the proof of the pudding, obviously Bullard is writing what he says, but just go and look at the projections. So let's I have them in front of me. So let's look at the 2013 projection in March. It was 1.3 to 1.7. Well, this is Bullard's point. Today, it's 0.8 to 1.2. That looks to me lower projection for inflation. Same in 2014, same marginally in 2015. So the problem is that inflation is actually way below the target. And they talk in the minutes about, and in the statement about, they'll look at the labor market and they'll keep going with broader measures of the labor market and assuming that inflation is no more than a half a percentage point above the target. So the obvious question here is, where does the economy go? And if you read the statement, it also says, conditional upon the fact that fiscal policy is restraining economic growth. So I think the market sort of assumes that the Fed chairman is an astrologer, and he's not an astrologer. He's telling you, and he's told the markets about, the conditions under which the Fed will move. Very difficult to be date certain. And I think they've misinterpreted, misread it, and there's no intention, as far as I can tell, on the part of the Fed to say that they can be date certain. The one thing that does worry us, in a sense, is that forward guidance is going to be very difficult post January 13 with potentially a new Fed government.
Very good segue. Yeah. Very good segue.
Danny, you opened a whole can of worms when you mentioned January and how it's going to get more difficult to forecast when there's going to be a new Fed chairman. Barack Obama making comments this week that were widely reported, you know, as being perhaps meaning something other than sort of face value. First of all, what was your reaction to what the president said, that Bernanke had been around a lot longer than he wanted to or was supposed to be?
Well, I do understand that, but in all probability, it probably raised the level of uncertainty at a time where we can see there's a lot of volatility going on. But I thought more broadly it illustrated the difficulty of making of this idea of forward guidance. Forward guidance for the Fed through a period when there's a possibility that the chairman that we know has a lot of power may potentially change. So that's a big deal. But I think it's also relevant in that we have a new governor coming to the Bank of England next week, whose idea apparently, and he's been given it in the remit, that they're going to do forward guidance. And I think it actually empirically that's probably not worth a jot, mostly because, and I remember when I was on the MPC, we thought about it and talked about it. And the problem about the forward guidance is, yes, you say we're going to do this, but what if circumstances change? And if circumstances change, you're going to have to change, not least if the composition of a committee is going to change. So that's one of the reasons why in central banking continuity is a good thing, and why potentially I think you would probably, if there's going to be a change, you would expect Obama to make that change pretty early and in a sense not make a drastic change. But this did look like creating some degree of volatility, because it's hard to know exactly what happens after January the 31st 2014, if Bernanke isn't there. I'm not saying he should be. I'm not saying it would be. There's no better candidate. I'm just saying at this moment, with all this volatility going on, probably didn't help.
Well, let's look at Janet Yellen. She is the vice chair of the Federal Reserve. She's the former head of the Council of Economic Advisers under Democrats. So she's a Democrat. Obviously, President Obama still seems to hold it against Ben Bernanke that was appointed by a Republican president, although everyone says Ben's very apolitical. But nevertheless, there's Janet Yellen. Plus, she was president of the San Francisco Fed. Everyone agrees with it. Even if they agree with her policy stance, they agree that she's a very intelligent economist, right? Very capable. But there's never been a Fed vice chairman that has gone on to become the chair. So will it be hard for her to overcome that? Will it be an issue?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I've known Janet Yellen for 20 years. I think she's absolutely fantastic. I'm a huge fan. I always said the number one central banker in the world is Bernanke, closely followed by Janet Yellen. I certainly think that in grounds of continuity, she is the obvious choice. I mean, in some sense, the big change will be this is a woman. I haven't had a woman before. I think it'd be great to have a woman. I think she's highly capable and presumably would sail through confirmation. I mean, there are other candidates out there, and when you look at those other candidates, they're not in place. Unlikely, I think, to have another one from within the Fed right now. So I think continuity, and actually if you think about this idea of forward guidance, what happens when we get to January, I think the chances of the market understanding what's going on and seeing the changes being seamless would probably be greater having Janet there. I think she's a great pick, and she's my pick.
Would she be as comfortable, you know, using sort of the tools that the Fed chairman has started using, do you think, Danny? For example, when he says that we can up asset purchases if things go awry or whatever, will she be as comfortable deciding that?
Well, I think she has been. I mean, her speeches have been very much on the mark with that. She quickly followed Charlie Evans' speech with the idea that we have gateways, which is really the initial conversation we had. And I think everybody's missed that this is about generating gateways. So Janet Yellen has been front and center in terms of the policy. She's backed everything that Bernanke has said. And if you read her speeches, she really has been a solid backer and of the strategy, and the strategy that we need monetary stimulus until the economy gets to escape velocity. And I think the markets have just completely got this confused. The forecast says that things are not that great. If the projections are right, then we're going to keep going. But if they're not, and this conversation has sort of forgotten that Bernanke talked about the 7% as a number, if you like, that QE would kind of slow by the time you get to it. But I just think that this is about being path dependent, as I said before. And the Fed is going to follow the data. And Janet Yellen's made it clear that she'll follow the data. So this is not about date certain. The Fed chairman didn't say we're going to stop this. And I think there's complete misreading that this is a hawkish statement. I actually read it as a very dovish. It's path dependent. And if we're wrong, we're going to do more. So the idea that this says that we're going to slow things, he actually said a number of occasions, well, we could increase things.
Well, let me throw out another. There's a lot of, I just love all the people who are trying to understand what signal they get from what's going on with the successor to Ben Bernanke, but more important, his departure, because it's not really official, except the president, in answer to Charlie Rose's question, said, yeah, Ben's been there even longer than he wanted to be, and it's time to go. A lot of people, Danny, as you may well know, have said, whoa, he's kicking Bernanke out. Larry Meyer, former Fed governor, said it's like he just fired Ben Bernanke. One of our very astute listeners is wondering if there aren't some politics here, if President Obama might try to appoint someone or push or influence the Fed now in the direction of even tying the thresholds, tying its coming moves more to what the mortgage market is doing, what mortgage rates are doing, and trying to make sure that the Fed stays longer rather than shorter. And I'm wondering, we've seen this in the past, if the markets start doubting that the Fed is 100% independent and that there is a political element involved in their decisions, and certainly in the Fed chairman or chairwoman's, this is not good for the Fed and it's not good for the markets. Do you see anything like that? Why did Obama, President Obama, suddenly just say, yeah, Ben's leaving? A lot of people thought this was worse than unceremonious.
Well, I don't think he said he's leaving. I think he said he's done 2 years longer than he wanted to.
Well,
so
but everyone's interpreting it as Obama saying.
That's not what he said. Okay. He just said that's what he said. He didn't say that. People are interpreting as that. I think I can look back, actually, as it's quite a good time to look back. Mervyn King's leaving this week. It's quite clear now in history, if we look back in late 2008, 2009, Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling had the same position. They had to try and reappoint, whether to reappoint Mervyn King. And there was, apparently, now we look back and we know that they weren't that keen to do it, and they were looking for other alternatives. But then they realized that the situation was such in the markets that they needed continuity. It would be too troubling to the markets. So these political decisions are obviously not unrelated to what happens in the markets. We've actually seen in the UK, in some sense, that exactly what's happening here. The government has changed the remit, telling the Bank of England, if you like, it wants to see more stimulus, bringing in a governor that actually has sort of said, I'm going to do that, but the MPC has sat back and hasn't done it. So you have to balance what's happened to the markets to political things. And I don't know what's in Obama's mind, but he did not say, I'm going to let him go. And it wouldn't actually surprise me in the current circumstances that actually for continuity reasons and because of this volatility that Bernanke agrees to stay on.
Well,
how long for, who knows? But
interesting.
But I think this volatility of the last 3 days makes him staying more likely than
very
going.
Very interesting. Quick question. Why has the vice chair of the Fed never gotten the nod for Fed chairman before?
I don't know the answer to that, I'm afraid. I mean, it's like saying, why hasn't a woman got it before? I don't know the answer to that. We can speculate. I'm not great on that. I mean, we haven't had an awful lot of Fed chairman over time.
Well, we've had Alan. That's true. Alan Blinder or, say, Roger Ferguson as
right.
successors to Alan Greenspan.
Right.
But that's a good point.
I don't know the answer. There's probably a political answer to that.
Okay.
Danny, quick update on Europe. We're seeing Greece teetering again today. The Democratic left saying it's going to pull out of the coalition government. Well, what are your major thoughts on Europe at the moment?
Well, my thoughts sort of continue to be the same. I mean, Rumpoy said the other day the crisis in Europe is over, which normally my view of these politicians is what the best bit of advice is whatever they say, the opposite's probably true. And that seems to approximate it. I mean, I've still had in my mind, and I've said on your program many times, so how does Greece ever get out of this? How does Greece ever pay these things back? How does Greece ever solve this problem? And the Europeans have given them no strategy out, the same in Spain and the same in Italy. So this crisis merely trundles along, potentially getting worse. But I said all along, you're in a situation where, yes, there has to be some adjustment from these weaker countries that have had high wages. But the problem is you have an overly tight fiscal policy. You have an overly tight monetary policy. And that's pretty difficult. But again, I should then go back to what the Fed said. The Fed said fiscal policy is acting as a downward path on growth. How does the Fed know what exactly is going to happen on fiscal policy and what the Congress is going to do and where the budget's going to go? So these are difficult situations, but it's quite clear that fiscal policy is working against monetary policy.
Danny Blanchard, thank you so much. Eloquently, definitely, clearly stating the case for the Fed not being on the verge of tapering off. Very important message for markets of all kind to hear today.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.